Following high-profile and damaging revelations that have tainted federal parliament in recent weeks, on the 29th of March, Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced a cabinet task force of female ministers in an attempt to address gaps in existing policies. Seven women have been appointed to cabinet, and the number of portfolios regarding women's issues has been expanded, while Christian Porter and Linda Reynolds have been redeployed. Mr. Morrison claims that the revised cabinet will drive the government's agenda on women's equality, safety, economic security, and health. To further unpack this cabinet reshuffle, we're joined now by Professor Mark Kenny, professor at the Australian National University's Australian Studies Institute. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, in the first meeting of the new cabinet task force yesterday, the Minister for Women, Senator Payne, stated that the government was in the process of developing a budget package that would address the gaps in existing programs. So to what extent can we expect this new task force and this new cabinet reshuffle to impact the upcoming federal budget in May?
Well, that's really the $64,000 question, because the government obviously took a long time to get the beat of the electorate on this issue, on the whole issues bubbling around women's participation in politics and in the economy. And Scott Morrison, I guess, was pretty slow, really, to get the language right and to get the gesturing right. So they finally came up with this proposal for putting women in cabinet, giving a number of ministers titles related to women's issues, and getting this task force happening. You may recall that when the Prime Minister was announcing this, he actually described Maurice Payne, who was already the Minister for Women and who now heads up this task force and is the sort of most senior woman there in that respect. He referred to her as the Prime Minister for Women. He quickly backed away from that because it was pretty absurd. It was a piece of kind of marketing spin that raised the question, well, what are you, the Prime Minister for Men? So the gesturing around this and the language around this, it's all been a bit amateurish and slow to begin with, but now they've got this process. Will it actually deliver anything material, which is really what your question goes to? Will we see anything significant in the budget? I think they have to do some things because the budget's not that far away. This issue is bubbling along, and frankly, I think if it just turns out to be a bunch of titles, a bunch of nameplates on doors, as it were, then that will backfire badly for the government. So this budget will be interesting from that perspective, bearing in mind that I think it was Tony Abbott who got rid of the women's budget or the women's economic statement in the budget, when he was Prime Minister. So perhaps we'll see the return of that kind of thing.
We'll definitely have to wait to see. I did want to speak more about this cabinet reshuffle. In particular, what is the significance of promoting Karen Andrews from the industry portfolio to Home Affairs, replacing Peter Dutton in this role?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question, Marlene, and I'm glad you asked it, because I think it's sort of been a little bit overlooked in some of the other bells and whistles around this, but it's probably the most significant promotion in the whole process. This is a very big portfolio. As we know, Peter Dutton, when he was Home Affairs Minister, had a lot of agencies sort of incorporated into his portfolio, and it became known as a super portfolio. There was some resistance over time to it happening, but eventually it did happen, and of course he has agencies as diverse as the Australian Federal Police, or he had when he was the Minister, AFP reporting to him, and a number of other high security organisations, cyber security and these sort of things, as well as the standard immigration, border protection, Australian Border Force, which he presided over the creation of and so forth. So it's a really key international and national security portfolio. And the fact that it's now gone to a woman, I think is quite significant. These have been the province very much of chest-thrusting men in the past, and now we have a foreign minister who is Maurice Payne, of course, And we have the Home Affairs Minister, who will sit in the National Security Committee of Cabinet, and that is a woman as well. So, you know, Karen Andrews has big shoes to fill, and it's going to be interesting to see what impact she has on that portfolio, and on particularly on perhaps the sort of let's say the human discretion issues that come before the minister in relation to hardship cases of people that are, you know, proposing to be deported. We know there's that Bill O'Ala family, for example, that's now on Christmas Island. They've spent more than 1,000 days in custody. The two daughters were born in Australia. The department's been trying to deport them for a long time. It's been held up in a series of federal court proceedings. Will Karen Andrews bring a more humane approach to a consideration like that? That remains to be seen.
Now, we are almost out of time, but I do want to quickly put the spotlight on one of the foreshadowed implementing policies. So the Prime Minister and Senator Payne, the newly appointed Minister for Women, have foreshadowed the policy that would force big tech companies to stop online attacks on women. Do you think we can expect the government to take a hardline stance on this issue in the coming months?
Well, it's interesting because Peter Dutton himself has been advocating this because he says he's been the subject of defamatory attacks on social media, mainly by people who are anonymous. And I think he's, no matter where you stand on Peter Dutton, and he's a very divisive figure, I think he has a point that there's a lot of keyboard sort of, you know, warriors out there who don't mind throwing around abuse and allegations and the like, and without, you know, putting their names to them. So it's interesting that it's not just women that could be the beneficiaries of a toughening up of policy of the legal framework here, but it does put the government again on a sort of a collision course with those big tech companies. And we know that they've just been through a whole round of eyeball to eyeball stuff over making those big tech companies pay for some of the content that they are using from media, orthodox media companies in Australia. Will the government take them on again? Will they change the laws to make those platforms in some way more responsible for the content that appears on their sites? They, of course, say they're just platforms, but a lot of people would disagree with that. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch whether there's something in this or it's just just a hollow talk.
There's a lot to look out for. Mark, thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Marlene. Cheers.